We are going to be talking about what we're going to be doing for our worship sets. Who's stoked to start their worship sets? Woo! Exactly. Y'all know how to respond now. That's perfect. We're gonna talk through. We kind of have a couple goals for these worship sets and what they're going to be like. Who's nervous for them, by the way? Raise your hand if you're nervous. Come on, be honest. Be honest. Yeah, I'd be nervous if I were you. Look at somebody who doesn't have their hands raised and call them a liar. You're a liar. You lie. You are nervous. Well, hey, I want to help a little bit with the nervousness. Okay, stop calling him a liar. You guys are doing it, taking too long. My goal is we're going to try to make this as simple and as clear as possible so that everybody feels good about what we're doing going into it. But really, we have kind of two major goals of what we're going to be doing together. And the awesome thing is we're going to get lots of time together where we get a chance to be in the presence of the Lord and pray. And you guys are actually going to be the ones who are leading us in worship. So that's one of my favorite things about what's happening at this camp is not you don't have just a bunch of old people like me talking at you and then leading worship, but you guys are actually getting to lead. I loved Brad's message yesterday and what he was talking about and preaching on you guys have inside of you what God has placed in you to be able to lead. And so it's just amazing that you guys will get a chance to sing and lead and play. And so basically we're going to just do three main things as part of our sets. And I'm going to talk about that. 1, 2, 3. And your counselors already know this because your counselors know everything, right? You can ask them every question about life, and they will know the answer. Because that's what counselors are and do. It's a great smiley face. So it's going to be easy. 1, 2, 3. And if you're taking notes, you can pull out your notepads and take notes. Plus, I'm going to be dropping truth bombs on you guys, so you're going to need those. You guys don't look like you believe me. No one trusts me yet. Okay, you will. You will trust me. Maybe not. You might think I'm weird. I'm great with that. So basically for these worship and prayer sets, we're going to hopefully stretch you in two different ways. The first is we just want to create an environment of worship where you guys are able to lead, because the main goal of this camp is also the main goal of your life, and that is to worship. And worship is exalting Jesus. It's an act both of the heart or externally that exalts and lifts Jesus high. And so we're going to spend time in worship. And specifically, we're going to start off and spend time, as we know, what I'm going to call corporate worship. So when we gather in our worship services that we have on our schedule, I don't know what they're called. What are they called in your schedules? What does it say? Student-led worship. So for that student-led worship, we're gonna do three things in part of that. So the first is going to be the one that's going to be the most familiar and the least scary, corporate worship, and that's where we sing worship songs. Has anyone in here ever sung a worship song, played a worship song? Okay, you guys are pretty familiar with that. And so why are we leading off that time in corporate worship song? Because that is a time song has the incredible ability to be able to unite everybody in a room at once with a simple and beautiful technique called song. Like right now, I'm talking, and a lot of you guys are listening to me. Some of you are not listening to me, and you're in La La Land. But what you're not doing is we're not all joined together with one thought, are we? I'm presenting some thoughts, and you guys are attaching thoughts onto those and receiving those, making connections. But what happens if I then get a guitar, and I start playing, and I start singing a worship song, guess what? We can all join and we can all sing together at the same time. It's an amazing unifying technique, or just music in general. I mean, if I play a song for you, we can all feel and listen to the same thing in emotion at once. Like, if you're ever in a movie theater and there's a real powerful ending to the movie and the music comes on, everyone starts crying together because everyone's feeling the same thing at the same time. The music had the ability to unify. God gave us this amazing gift to be able to unify together in a way that nothing else can do called music, called song. And so when we come together, corporate worship, it's not... When we worship in our weekend services, our church services, our youth groups, or even on our own, it's not just man, it's a cool warm-up. Like, it's a great way to get people to get in chairs because we kind of get this rock concert, and then the guy comes up and speaks, and that's the main event. No, everybody together can unify and sing and worship and be joined with one heart and one vision together. And so we're going to start off these sets with corporate worship. You guys are going to sing some songs and lead some songs. Now, your counselors are going to lead the first song or the first couple songs as you guys get set up, because they're going to play with you, and we're going to do everything humanly possible to make you guys feel comfortable, to get you set up in a way that you're able to communicate with one another and you're able to play. And so you're gonna start off these prayer times with the first, however long, 15, 30 minutes with leading a couple corporate worship songs. Your counselors are going to talk about that more, but you guys all know what I'm talking about when I talk about that, so I'm going to move on. So the next thing, this one's going to, we're going to stretch you a little bit. We're going to develop a passage. What do you mean by that? Develop a passage. Well, here's where we're going to stretch you. The beautiful part about singing a corporate worship song is that we're all unified in one song. Everyone got that point? Yes, makes sense. Raise your hand. I got that point. Makes sense. Yes. Here's the problem with that, is if we only do that, then we're only ever singing essentially borrowed language, or we're singing words that someone else wrote, right? Like if when I have, I'm married, been married 11 years, going 12 years in July. it is July. Oh, my anniversary's coming up. I should probably get something soon. Thank you. Thank you for congratulating me. 11 years of marriage, baby. And so my anniversary is coming up. Thank you. Yes. How many of you know, like, if I went, you know, to the grocery store and I picked up, like, a Hallmark card and whatever, and I stuffed an envelope and, you know, and I handed it to my wife and she opened it up and it, you know, it just said, like, roses are red, violets are blue, I love you, you know, happy 12-year anniversary. And I didn't write anything in it. How many of you know, like, my wife wouldn't be like, oh, my gosh, those words are so moving, right? Maybe you don't know. Well, I'm giving you a tip for the future. Don't do that to your boyfriend or girlfriend and or spouse. The card is nice because it communicates something generally, but then the real good stuff in the card is the personalized note that you write. And I like to think of that for our time in worship. When we gather together corporately, that Hallmark card is beautiful because we can all rally around one thought, which is amazing. We can exalt Jesus together. However, we can get into a worship service and we can sing someone else's words, and then we can hear someone else talk on a mic, and then we can go home and we can never ourselves express our unique love to Jesus. And worship is connection with God. Worship is not just describing who he is to him, but it's actually looking right at him, singing right to him, talking right to him. It's one of the most intimate things that we do with the Lord. And so we want time in our worship services, and you've seen that a little bit last night. We'll do it tonight and the rest of the time, where we're going to flow a little bit, and we're going to have opportunities for some more spontaneous songs and phrases, and not just in the singing, but also in the music. And so after we're done with a corporate worship song, and the counselors are going to lead this and kind of help introduce it, but you're going to go in and we're going to sing spontaneously around a passage of Scripture. And so what's going to happen is your counselor is going to pick like a psalm or a Bible passage. And when you're done with the song, the music's going to keep going, or it's going to start and play maybe a new chord progression or a new feel, just kind of create this atmosphere. And then the counselor is going to read a psalm or a scripture. They'll probably read 4, 5, 6 verses, and they'll develop that a little bit. And then when they're done, they are going to pick one of those phrases in that psalm, and they are going to repeat that. And that's called isolating a passage. Say, isolate a passage. Isolate a passage. Isolation of a passage is like creating a bullseye, and they're going to say, okay, now this is what you're going to sing around. Because here's what happens. When the beautiful thing about doing things spontaneously is it can be our own words. It's authentic. It's real. And oftentimes, if we only come into a worship service and we just kind of like boom, 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 we sing 4 worship songs and we're done, we can, as worship leaders, it can kind of turn into almost this karaoke worship type thing, you know, like put the quarter in, like, you know, pick the Taylor Swift and Justin Bieber song, sing it, you know, and then you're just done. Your heart may or may not be invested in it. And the Lord can and does use corporate worship songs in the moment, and they can be prophetic and they can be powerful. However, oftentimes the Lord wants to do something different and unique beyond the pages of the worship song, and having these moments for the music to kind of breathe and have that allow that to happen. We saw that last night. The band did it several times, but I'll use kind of the ministry time moment as an example. So Brad finished preaching, band came up, you know, the keys started playing, and we started playing Reckless Love, and we sang through the song, and then when we were done, Jeff started singing just how there's no fear in love, and we don't have to be afraid, and your love casts out fear. I don't know how many of you guys remember that moment last night. Most of you were connected to that. So we sung the song that had this feel of what Brad was preaching on, but then the Jeff took a moment and said, "Okay, now I want to go a little bit deeper than the song, and I want to fish out a little bit what's happening." And so he sung around that, and then we went back into the song, and it was like the song had like a deeper meaning to it because of what we were singing on about fear. And that's the power of being able to take these spontaneous moments and step out of karaoke worship a little bit and offer the Lord something and the room something to latch onto that's a little bit different than what those specific songs are. And so your counselor is going to pull out a phrase. So let's say it's Psalm 23. So then they're going to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." That either says shepherd or shrimp, I'm not sure. But if we're following scriptures, it's probably shepherd, because there's no scripture about the Lord being shrimp. In fact, they weren't even allowed to eat shrimp in the Old Testament, which is so sad. Thank the Lord for grace, amen. Shrimp is tasty. Shrimp is tasty, but the Lord is not like a shrimp. The Lord is like a shepherd. So then the counselor will say, they'll isolate a phrase. So they've just prayed through a couple of the Psalms, and then they're going to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And here's what's going to happen. All the singers on the stage, and you guys will be numbered, and your counselors will number you for. And if you saw numbers on your paper, that's the numbers are just to help communicate. And so one at a time, you guys are going to go down the line, and you're going to sing a spontaneous song, just a moment or a phrase, based on that phrase. And so there's three things you can do. So we have three things we're doing, but then there's little three subcategories. And go ahead, singers, go ahead and write these down, because I think this is going to be helpful for you to remember. The first one is you can just repeat. So I'm going to give you an out. If it comes to you and you have nothing to sing, which happens sometimes, you can literally sing back what was just prayed. So they just prayed, "The Lord is my shepherd." If it's your turn to sing and you don't have anything, just sing, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that's powerful. Again, that's like the corporate worship song. Like you're agreeing with the scriptural truth, and just by singing it, something powerful will happen. So you can repeat it. That's the first R. We're going to do all R's. The next, I'm going to use capital letters so that it's easier to read, because my handwriting is so bad. Y'all read that? What does that word say? Ha ha! Look how good it is. And the reason I always have to explain, but I'm left-handed. And so my parents taught me, when they taught me how to write, when it was like time to write, they taught me like right-handed. They like handed me the marker in the right hand, you know, and I had to do everything with the right hand. So then I grew up and I always wrote with my right, but I'm left-handed, so it's terrible. So if I like write with my left hand, even though I never do it, almost as good. Like it's probably even easier to read than it is with the right hand. But I'm way too lazy to actually switch because it takes too long, because I'm not used to it. So that's my excuse for bad handwriting. So second, we're going to repeat is number one. And then the second one is we're going to rephrase. Say rephrase. What does rephrase mean? Put it in other words. Perfect. You literally did it right within the analogy. Double meaning layers. Well done, my friend. So this is the moment we're going to sing around the theme. Again, bullseye, Lord is my shepherd. That's the bullseye. We can repeat it. Or when somebody says, or you read, the Lord is my shepherd, what does that mean to you? He takes care of us. Boom. What else? He guides us. What else? He's a provider. What else? He protects us. What else? He leads us. What else? He's with us. He helps us through. Boom. See, what happens is the Lord is my shepherd. Here's what's cool. Here's what happened. Now, maybe you thought of one thing, right? When I said the Lord is my shepherd, how many of you just had one kind of thought pop into your head? Like when I said the Lord is my shepherd, like we just said 10 things. How many of you guys had just kind of one thought that popped in your head? How many of you had like 50 that popped into your head? So the majority of people just really think of like one at a time, which is pretty normal. Like when I think of the Lord as my shepherd, like typically maybe I'll just think God is a good leader. Like the God is a leader or he's a protector, you know. But what happened is I asked the question, okay, what does that mean to you? And then boom, all of a sudden popped out. The Lord, he guides, he directs, he takes care of us, he watches over us, he, all of these different phrases. And what happened is just by rephrasing this, we developed the thought. Like just within the 10 seconds we did that, there was probably a new angle to the Lord as a shepherd that you don't typically think of that now that you have right there in the room. And so this is what happens when we're in worship and somebody prays the Lord is my shepherd and it comes your turn to sing. You can take that same thought, but rephrase it, put it in a different word to help expand it a little bit. And so when it comes to you, the first person might have repeated it and they've said the Lord is my shepherd. And you might say, the Lord guides me. The Lord is my leader. Or some other phrase that goes along with that idea. And that's going to help develop this thought. And by doing that, you are singing spontaneously and you are singing prophetically. Guys, almost, you know, if you have followed other worship leaders who do prophetic worship or worship in spontaneous moments and you've looked at that and you're like, wow, like I love how they have this beautiful language and they sing with so much confidence in these. How do they do it? How do they make up that song? Honestly, everyone I know started with this. They just started taking real simple phrases and they would just start singing them spontaneously. And so the first is repeat, the second is rephrase, and then the third is reference. Wow, that's the worst R I've ever drawn ever. We're going to do better. We're going to reference. Reference is not with a PH, that is with an F. Reference. Sorry. We are going to reference other scriptures that are being prayed. So, can any of you, this might take a little bit longer than before, it's okay. Is there any other scriptures, you don't have to give me the reference, this isn't a sword drill, like, I'm not looking for like John 12:37, like, is when I say the Lord is my shepherd, is there any other, based off of the thought that we just did when we rephrase, is there any other scriptures that come to your mind? Just scriptural phrases, I'll say that. The word is a light unto my path. Boom. Give me a high five. I said give me a high five. You did it, so that's great. Any other scriptures? He will never leave you or forsake you. That's awesome. Anyone else? Yes. Yes. Jesus leaves the 99 to find the one. He is the good shepherd. Beautiful. Any other scriptures? Got four so far. That's pretty good. Any more? Any other ones? Yes. I'll be with you, lo, even unto the end of the age. Absolutely. Those are other scriptures that we reference and rephrase to help expand the thought of what we just sang. And so what happens is, instead of just singing, again, the Hallmark song, we then take those thoughts and we sing them from different angles and perspectives and scriptures. And here's what happens. And I know you're not going to pull all of this from just this camp in this moment. So I'm going to say something grandiose and kind of lofty, but let me tell you that it is true. I went to Bible college. I study the Bible. I read, you know, nerdy commentaries and all that stuff. I love that stuff. Honestly, what helped me understand the story of the Bible more than anything else was singing it. The way that I learned to understand, and I don't understand it perfectly. I'm not saying like I'm some like Bible grandmaster, but honestly, when I was your age, the Bible scared the crap out of me. And I felt super ashamed about the Bible, to be honest. And I'm hoping that through my honesty that you might connect to this. Why? Because I didn't understand what the Bible said like 99% of the time. Like anything that was like, you know, on a cat poster, like any scripture that's like cat poster scripture status, I was like, yeah, I can understand that. But then I would start reading passages and stories in the Old Testament, and they seemed to be, you know, contradict other things in the New Testament, or there was things that were scary or things that didn't make sense and things that were confusing. And so because of that, I didn't read it, because I'm like, well, crap, like I don't want God to be scary. I want to worship him and love him. And the Bible is just kind of confusing. And so I'm going to stick to just a couple passages and I'll leave the rest of the Bible for other people. And the way how that changed, now I see the Bible as, I don't understand everything. I have more questions than I had before. But now when I read the Bible, it is a cohesive story to me that makes sense. And when I read it, I encounter not great stories that were told from thousands of years ago. I encounter a real living person who loves me, and he speaks to me every time I read the word. I mean, really, every time I read the scriptures, the Lord speaks to me in a real and intimate way. And the way that the Bible connected and made sense for me was I started to sing it, even the stuff that didn't make sense to me. And I would sing it, and as I would sing the scriptures, my heart would come alive in a unique way, because that's the power of music. I mean, it awakens our emotions, and if we're singing truth, then the Lord, the Holy Spirit's job, he's the one who searches the deep things of God and he makes them known in us. As we sing the scriptures, the Holy Spirit just gives us little phrases of insight that make sense and connect to our heart. So when we say the Lord is my shepherd, it's not like, okay, yeah, I got it, like the Lord leads us. But all of a sudden, these scriptures, lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age. I will never leave you or forsake you. I leave the 99, I only find the one. All of these other stories and scriptures come together and they make one cohesive letter that's God's love letter to us, to his church, to us individually. And it's absolutely amazing. The thing that will revolutionize the Bible for you is this. When the Bible becomes more enjoyable than anything else, you will devour the Bible. The reason why, this might come as a shock, but the reason why you sin is because of this. You like it. That's the mystery of sin. I don't have to force, and I won't force, so don't worry. I won't force anyone in this room to sin. And nobody sins out of obligation or duty. No one's like, man, like, I really didn't want to, but man, I feel like just to, you know, be a bad person, I really need to get angry, you know, at that person who spoke bad about me. The reason why we get angry and we say bad things is because it feels good to do that. There's something in our flesh that feels good. We are pleasure-driven creatures. And the reason why sin sometimes is more enticing than the Bible is not because sin is more exciting and more fun than the Bible, because it's not. The Bible is far more enjoyable, far more fun, far more exhilarating, far more epic than the most epic movie or trilogy you ever thought of. It's far more engaging and enjoyable than any moment doing anything else in life. But the problem is, if it's not alive to us and sin is more enjoyable than the Bible, then we'll always go to the one. And I felt so much guilt and shame, but the Bible was boring to me because it didn't make sense. And the moment that I started taking the Bible and said, you know, I don't understand all of this. I understand some of it, but most of it doesn't make sense. But God, I've encountered you. You've told me that you love me. I've felt your presence. I've felt your love. You've spoken to me, and I'm trusting that you're a good father. And so I want to learn this book, and would you speak to me through it? And I would start to sing the Bible. And suddenly, the Bible started to make sense. Suddenly, phrases would start coming alive in my heart, and it absolutely changed my life. And so that's not going to happen like over this week. Like, you're not going to like come back from home and be like, guess what? Like, I understand all of the mysteries of scriptures, and you know, and I know the eschatological timelines in perfect order now because I went to a worship camp and we sung Psalm 23. Like, it'd be awesome. It's probably not going to happen. But if you can latch onto the truth that the Bible is not so scary that you can't understand it, it's for you. It's for you today. It's living and real, and God is waiting to encounter you. And by singing it and by worshiping through it, the Lord will open up in a unique way. If you can latch on and truly believe that, it will change and revolutionize your life. And so that's why we're going to take these times to leave the Hallmark cards of the corporate song, and we're going to start to sing the Bible and sing it in our own language. And the way we're going to do that is the first is we're going to what? The first is what? Nice. Let's see how I made you do it twice. Boom. It's a powerful learning device right there. Number two is what? And then the third is what? Awesome. And this word is? Shrimp. We got it. All right. We're tracking. Awesome. So we're going to take and we're going to go down the line two or three times, and we're going to either repeat, rephrase, or reference that scripture. Boom, 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 boom. And then our counselors are going to start doing this, but eventually you guys will do this. And we are going to sing a spontaneous chorus. So I'm going to pull this back. So the power of a worship song is what? Unifies everybody. Exactly. I don't know who started saying it, but I finished your phrase for you. Nailed it. You're welcome. But the power of developing a passage is we can put our own language to it, and we can dive deeper than just the song. But here's the power of what we can do in a chorus is even though we've just, you know, we just take this deep dive into the Word of God, and we're diving deep, and we're pulling out all of this biblical truth, and it's awesome and it's powerful. If we only do that, then what's going to happen to people that are in the room? They're going to kind of disconnect, right? Because there's a bunch of different thoughts and things that are being sung. Well, what's the best way to unify everyone again? A chorus. Yes! Love this guy. High five. Nailed it. We can take that, we're going deep, we're pulling out this truth, but then if we sing a chorus, guess what? Everybody can sing together. And what if that chorus is a prayer? What if that chorus is, God, I want to trust you more? If I sing that as a chorus, here's how powerful it is. If I pray that right now, I'll go ahead and do that. God, let me trust you more. That's a great prayer. And I got to pray it right now, which is awesome. And you might have thought it. You might have watched me pray. But if I turn that, God, you know, what did I just pray? Help me to trust you. Help me to remember more. Yeah. No, help me to trust you more. If I just prayed that, God, help me to trust you more. If I got on the piano and I turned that into a song, you all could sing it and you could all pray it with me at once. It's an amazing, powerful tool for us all to pray and sing at once. There's nothing like it. That's why we've never... There's nothing more unifying than check, getting in and out, than music and song. It's why people still go, you know, why do people pay, you know, $100 to go see Taylor Swift in a stadium when, you know, it sounds a little worse than when you listen to it on your home stereo? You know, why do we do that? The reason we do that is not just to see like cool lights and stuff, because we could watch that at home. Because there's something when we get in a stadium with all these people singing and they're unified, there's power in that. And when we do that around the Word of God and around worship, there is power in that when we unify around these choruses. So we're going to take these phrases and we're going to just sing them in spontaneous chorus. We're going to sing, you know, God, help me to trust you more. And we're just going to repeat that. We're going to put it in a melody line that we can sing over and over and over again. Now, I've talked a lot to the singers, and you might say, that's great, Caleb. I'm not a singer. I'm a band member. Well, I got good news for you. You guys, the musicians, where are my musicians at? People that don't sing, just play music. What's up? Woo-woo. For you guys get to do this exact same idea, but you get to do it with music. How cool is that? The answer is very cool. You get to basically be, you know, Hans Zimmer. How many of you guys know who Hans Zimmer is? He's this amazing movie producer. He's doing the music for Dunkirk in a few weeks, and I'm so excited. He's amazing. But here's what happens to you guys are Hans. This is what I mean by you guys are Hans Zimmer. Here's what happens is the movie director, in this case, Christopher Nolan, the greatest movie director born of a woman, comes in and writes an amazing script, and then he says, Hans, here's the movie, and here's the feel. Can you write music that interprets that feel? Can you write, here's what he did for Interstellar. How many of you guys have seen Interstellar and love Interstellar? Love Interstellar, it's incredible. Here's what's so amazing about the soundtrack for Interstellar. Here's what Christopher Nolan, some of you guys are like, hey, everyone come back right now. Pay attention. Sweet. That worked, actually. So, Interstellar, the movie. I just wanted your attention because this is really awesome because I love Interstellar, not because I need your attention. Christopher Nolan, he wrote the script, and so he calls up Hans Zimmer, and he's like, hey, I need you to write the score for this movie. And Hans says, I'm in because you're awesome. And Nolan goes, that's great because you're awesome. And and then he's like, okay, well, what's the movie? And he goes, actually, he's like, I'm not going to send you the script. He said, the movie is about a relationship of a dad and his daughter, and he goes away for a long time, and that's the tension. Now write the music. He doesn't tell him it's a sci-fi movie. He doesn't tell him the style. He doesn't tell anything else. He just says, write music that captures that emotion. And Hans goes, and he writes the score, and the reason why Nolan did that, which was so brilliant, is he didn't want music just to sound like that typical sci-fi, like, nerdy, choo-choo, you know, sound. He wanted something that really captured the emotion of the story, not the style of the genre of movie. And so what they came back is this incredible soundtrack that carries so much emotion, and it totally works over the movie. And it's amazing. I mean, what a cool job to be able to write music to create the emotion behind something. Well, that's what you guys get to do. As we're singing Psalm 23, you guys get to play Psalm 23. As they're singing, the Lord is my shepherd or whatever, you engage just like the singers do, and you start to play music that pulls that out. It's really fun to do. I've done this for years, and I've even gone further to the point where I'll go down, I'll open up a psalm and go to my music room, and I won't pray, I won't say anything out loud, I'll just create and write music to the psalm that I feel interprets what that psalm is saying. And so you guys will play and create spontaneous melody lines, chord progressions, licks. I mean, you guys basically get to rock out, jam, have fun playing, and you get to worship, and it's like really powerful and engages your heart at the same time, which is pretty much the best of all worlds together. Can we agree, musicians? Yes. So just a couple things. When we play behind choruses, it helps too during the times where we're developing the passage, just to kind of find a nice musical groove and pocket. And then when we sing choruses, we can play behind it, and you know, for drums, we can open up the hi-hat and start playing on the overheads and the cymbals. And I don't need to get too specific, but musicians feel like the power of those choruses unify everyone with the music and what we play. And you guys are doing the exact same thing the singers are doing. You're just doing it with music. What do you think? Who wants to do it? Yeah! Awesome. Coming up to talk through how they're transitioning everything. You are. Awesome. Hey, let me pray for you guys really quick, because I care a ton that this idea connects. Again, I don't care that this sounds awesome or looks awesome or that you guys do this perfectly. I don't care if it ends up you guys have train wreck moments or whatever. That's totally fine. What I care about is that this idea of turning the Bible in worship moments to being more than just us singing some songs, but to us connecting with the Lord and leading people in that to take our hearts. So God, I thank you for these amazing young men and women. I thank you for the sacrifice to come to a worship camp in the middle of summer when people are going out and doing whatever number of things of sports camps and just enjoying their summer. There's a group of 50 young people that are like, man, you know what? I wanna go after the presence of the Lord. I wanna worship. I wanna do what I was created to do. God, I ask that during their worship times, Lord, I ask that you would fill this room with your presence. God, that it wouldn't just be like a practice set, God, but that your presence and glory would fill this room. Lord, I ask that you would open up the scriptures to make sense. God, I ask that your Holy Spirit would come and give inspiration. Spirit of God, you're the most creative being in the universe. You created the universe. Everything that was created around us was created by you. You're the most creative being. We invite the most creative being, the Spirit of truth, to come and to be with us, inspire us, lead us, guide us. And God, let this truth go deep into our hearts. God, that we wouldn't just be musicians or singers, just singing songs, God, but we'd be ones who know your heart, know the scriptures, and know what you're wanting to do and say, and we'd have the courage to lead it. In your name, amen. Amen.